So, for this morning, I feel like every time we're here for the church picnic, I get thinking about, us being outside and the nature we're in and all of that. And this year, my mind seemed to go to,
Indoors.
well, no. Sorry, Jim. How a lot of the time when Jesus would teach, he was outside. There were plenty of times when he did it in the temple and the normal place for it, if you will. But there were plenty of times where Jesus was just out on his way and people were bugging him. And he'd say, you know what? This is a good time to share some things. And so I was thinking about it just got me thinking about some of the things that Jesus taught. And even though that was my starting point, I ironically ended up at a teaching he didn't do outside, but that he did inside with some of his disciples. The main verse that's prompting this today is John 14:6, which those of you who regularly go to church or in the Bible a lot, this is probably familiar to you. But let me read this for you. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And that's important because every single one of us is separated from the Father. From our disobedience of him, our sinfulness, if we want to use the church word for it, against God. So every one of us is separated from God, and there's no way, Jesus says, that we can get back except through Jesus. And so I want to use this verse as a backdrop today, to kind of dispel three myths that are often believed about what it means to, I guess, to be saved in a way. And my prayer is, no matter where you find yourself in your relationship with Jesus, no matter how close, no matter how far, no matter whether you actually believe that's actually a thing or not, my prayer is that today, as we look at this, there would be something there for every one of us. So let me start with this one. John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way." Back before our phones were so smart, but after MapQuest, there was a time where there were dedicated GPSs. Does anyone else have one? Okay. Yeah, we had one. It wasn't a very good one, but it worked sometimes. Dedicated GPSs. And imagine for a second that you. Maybe this is what, 10 years ago when GPSs were important? Imagine that you go to the store to get a GPS because you're like, I don't want to mess with MapQuest. I don't trust my smartphone, whatever. I'm going to go to the store, buy a GPS because I've got this trip I've got to take. I know where I'm trying to get to, but I need help getting there. And then after you buy this GPS, you put it in your car, your little, what's the center thing called? The console. You put it in there and you start to take your trip. You say, I know this GPS can get me to the destination I need to go to. And then you start your trip and you never take it out of the console. That would be a little nonsensical, right? Why bother buying the GPS if you're not even gonna put it to use? You say, you know what? I know, I believe the GPS can get me there, but I'm gonna figure this out for myself. I can get there. That wouldn't make a lot of sense. It wouldn't make sense to believe something and then not follow it, right? Or take this as an example. If I say, yes, I believe the Earth is a sphere, that gravity will hold me on the Earth, but then I say, no, I'm afraid to go sailing because I could fall off the edge of the Earth, not the boat, then there's something not connecting there, right? I'm saying, oh, I believe this about the Earth, but then my actions don't back that up at all. What I do says something otherwise. In 1 Corinthians 6 and chapter 7 as well, there are different times where the Apostle Paul, who wrote that, basically says that when you choose to place your faith in Jesus, when you choose to say, yes, I believe Jesus saved me, that he is my way back to the Father, he is my path to eternal life, when you choose to believe that, you're actually involved in a transaction, right? Your life is getting bought by God at the price of Jesus' life. Now, does anyone have a dollar on them? Can someone show me a dollar really quick? All right, Kevin. Here, I'm going to sell you this GPS for a dollar. Thanks. So.
He always does stuff. You open your wallet.
So, Wait, that's not fair. Well, I mean, I think it's okay, but Kevin doesn't seem to think it's fair, right? Yeah. First of all, I was going to sell him a GPS, which probably isn't even worth a dollar anymore. But second, I didn't give him what we contractually agreed to, right? I said I was going to sell him a GPS for a dollar. I took his dollar, but then didn't give him what I promised. That's a lot of times what happens when people say, yes, I want to believe in Jesus. They say, yes, I want to embark in this transaction. I want to be saved. But then they don't go all the way and give God what he has bought. When we accept this deal, we are no longer our own. That's what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians. Jesus has bought us. His way is to become your way. Jesus didn't call people just to believe in him, but to follow him. Who had Luke 14? Was that Donna? Verse 27, please.
Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Okay. And depending on the version you have, mine uses the word, whoever doesn't follow me cannot be my disciple. We oftentimes talk about faith in Jesus, that what he did for us is a free gift. It's true. It doesn't cost us. Jesus is the one who did it. He's the one who took the ultimate pain, the ultimate suffering. He's the one who endured that. But that doesn't mean it's just a check the box. Yes, I'd like some of that. Jesus calls us to more. He calls us to follow him, not just to believe, but to follow. Jesus is the way to follow. Before you think I'm not going to... The leadership in this church, man, I tell you. Yikes. Second thing, Jesus says, I am the way, but he also says... He also says that I am the truth. Now, this is supposed to be a four-step ladder, but there's two problems with that. One, I don't have a four-step ladder, and two, even if I did have a four-step ladder, it wouldn't have fit in our car this morning. So, imagine, one, two, three, four. Here's our ladder, okay? And on this ladder, here's what I want you to imagine. There's four steps or levels that we want to consider. Right here is who God is. This is what God does. This step is who we are. And this step is what we do. Now, too many people try to climb up the ladder. Just doesn't work like that. This goes for even some people who would say they're Christians too. Too many people try to climb up the ladder. They say, all right, if I can do enough good stuff, what I do, if I can do enough good stuff, then who I am, that makes me just good enough. And what God does, that means He will tolerate me at the very least. And He will be willing to let me into heaven because I am just good enough. I'm better than most of the people around me. That's not how it works. Or some people who are a little more realistic about themselves will say, all right, I'll try to do enough good stuff, but I recognize who I am. I just mess up a lot. I'm a failure. I can't get it right. And then they say, and because of that, what God does, He's going to punish me. And because that's what God does, that means He must be mean and angry or unfair. Both of those concepts they're confused. They're backwards, literally. We think what we do determines how God views us. When in actuality, the path, the truth of the matter is not that we have to climb up to God, climb up to heaven, but actually, Jesus already came down to us, right? God is love. He is our creator. He is justice. He is wrath at times, as we talked about last week, but He's also grace and compassion and forgiveness. And because that's who God is, what He does, He acts in love. He shows love. That's why He sent Jesus. Because He cares about His lost creation. Those of us who are separated from Him. He offers forgiveness. And then we can say, if I accept that, who I am is, I'm loved by God. I am forgiven. I am adopted as a son. I am bought at a price, as we just talked about. And because of that, because that's who I am now, because of who God is and what He's done, and that's who I am now, now what I do is I live out my love for Him. I live out my desire for Him. As an extra example, I don't buy my... Occasionally, I'll just pick up something for my wife from the store that's not on the grocery list, just something nice. And I don't do that because that's what you're supposed to do to show your wife you care about them. I don't get her gas station chocolates on Valentine's Day because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to forget until Valentine's Day and then pick up the last box you can find and give it to her. No, I don't do any of that. When I get Abby stuff or get her a little bag of chocolates or whatever, It's because I love her. It's because I care about her. Because it makes her happy. Because it strengthens our relationship. I'm not doing it because it's, oh, one of the rules of relationships is you should do that. No, it's because I care about her and I know that's going to make her happy. It's the same thing in our relationship with God. It's not that, oh, you have all these rules to follow. But when we properly understand who God is, what he has done for us, what that makes us in his sight, then we say, oh man, you've bought me at a price. My whole life belongs to you. I want to make you happy, God, with this life. Could someone who had Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9?
For by the grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast.
So it's certainly faith. I place my belief in God. It's not me earning my salvation. But that doesn't mean that the Christian life is without effort either. It's not it's not a big nothing. We might say, well, how can it be both belief, but also there's some doing involved? Because that's the way it is. You know, what we do reveals who we are. It's not the other way around. What we do doesn't determine who we are. What we do reveals who we are. So, if I am truly bought by Jesus, if I am truly adopted into his kingdom, then what I do is going to reveal that to be the case. Last thing. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and he says, I am the life. A lot of times when we talk about what we get for following Jesus, all the emphasis is on everlasting life. You get to be in heaven. You get to escape hell. That tends to be our emphasis. That's a great thing. I'm looking forward to that personally. But it's not the only thing. It's not like we say, oh yeah, I'll sign up for that, but until then, I guess I'm in a holding pattern until heaven. You know, that's not how it works. Who had John 10:10? Was that Tanya?
I did.
Can you read that for us?
Yep. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
Now I think when Jesus says he came that his followers, his believers could have life and have it to the full, I think he intended that that life was supposed to begin right now. You, when you enter into this transaction with Jesus and say, yes, I will allow you to buy my salvation, to buy my life, you're bought right now. Which means you can also experience the benefit of that right now. Now, when I say the benefit, I don't want you to think I mean like prosperity stuff, get rich quick. Oh, if you follow Jesus, you're going to be in the money. He's going to bless you. I can assure you that is not the case. This doesn't mean that if you go full on for Jesus, if you say, yes, I want to live in this fully, that doesn't mean that he's promising you a life of ease. We can attest to that as well. It doesn't mean necessarily that it's going to be a life of happiness all the time. There are still going to be trials and tribulations and disappointments. However, through all that, you can walk with a God who is love, is compassionate, is graceful, and will show those qualities to you if you let him. For this one, I don't have an object illustration, but rather just a personal illustration where I can say that the two worst times of my life have been when I have tried to live without God. In my high school years, I walked away from God, and there was a period where I was completely ready to reject everything I had said I had believed for my whole life. I was ready to say that I didn't believe in God at all. And even though I might have come across the same way on the outside at that time, I've never been more dead on the inside. That was a time where I rejected the truth of who Jesus was, who God was. The second time was when I was still a believing Christian. This was later. I was a believing Christian, but not a following Christian. And for much of that time, this was about 2 years of time, or maybe a year, year and a half. I was sick for a lot of it. There was probably a period where I experienced depression, which is weird for me to say, because that's not a norm. Like, I don't know, I've just never done that before. I was just procrastinating in this extreme way, and I tried and failed to be self-sufficient. I tried to handle everything that life was throwing at me by myself. In that, I was rejecting the way of Jesus. I was not following him. Jesus offers life, not just in the future, but now, if you will give yourself to him. Faith in Jesus there's an element of effort. We follow him. It's not just I believe this and now I'm set for when my day, my time comes and I'll do whatever I want. That's not the picture that Jesus paints of faith. Second, we can't earn our way into heaven. Doesn't work like that. Also, that also means, if we flip the script on that a little bit, you are not defined by what you do. You are never bad enough. You are never too far gone. Because your ability to get into heaven isn't dependent upon who you are. It's dependent on who God is and what you do with that information. And then third, the life that Jesus offers is available now, too. So I know, I don't know everyone super well who's here. I know many of you, but I don't know everyone who's here super well. But I just want to address three different areas really quick. Some of you, I know, consider yourselves not just Christians, but as I often phrase it, Christ followers. Not just believers, but those who want to live their whole lives for Jesus. So what you heard today, you're probably nodding along with a lot of that. Today is just a reminder and a call to keep going deeper with Jesus, because I don't think any of you who would consider yourselves Christ followers would say, oh yeah, I am all the way in all the time. I've always got it. No, I think all of us would be willing to say, no, I can keep growing. I can keep following Jesus better. Sometimes I'm like a dog that sees a squirrel and gets distracted. Some of you, I don't know, might not believe any of this stuff. You're like, all right, all I got to do is listen to this guy talk for 20 minutes and then we can eat, right? And that's okay. I'm glad you're here if that's the case. If you find yourself in that boat, here's what I challenge you to do. Would you just say a very simple prayer this week? And that is, God, if you're real, show me. I challenge you to just say that, to ask God that. If what I shared today is wrong, and you do that, you have nothing to lose. You wasted, what, 5 seconds? Nothing to lose. But if what we've talked about today is true, you have everything to gain. And just for the record, those are pretty much the exact words that I prayed that eventually led to me giving my life back to God. So you have my stamp of approval, my guarantee. Last thing, I want to address, and this may, I'm guessing this applies to some of you as well, who may call yourselves Christians, but what does that actually mean? Maybe you believe some of this stuff, you're like, yeah, I can agree with that. Maybe you prayed a prayer once. Maybe you went to confirmation, or maybe you were baptized as a kid, but all of this doesn't really affect your day-to-day life. God desires to do so much more in you. He desires to bring healing. He desires to deal with sin. He desires to show you the depths of his love, but you have to let him. You have to come to him. So that's where you've got to ask yourself, are you willing to count the cost of following Jesus, to bear that cross? Because it's not always easy to follow Jesus. Are you willing to trade the comforts of this life for the burdens of his cross? Which I know doesn't sound like a great trade, right? Why would I trade comforts for burdens? That sounds dumb. Doesn't sound like a great trade, but when we take the big picture view of things, the comforts of this life are going to pass away at some point. But what God offers is everlasting, and it can start here and now. So, those are the thoughts I want to leave you with today. I hope you'll consider them beyond these last however many minutes we just spent there. But like I said before, I'm thankful that all of you are here today. I'm thankful that we can have a good time. I'm thankful for good weather so far, as much as I wanted to see Jim get rained on as a cook. I'm glad you could be here. I'm going to go ahead and pray to close our time together. I'm going to pray over our food. Jim's going to get stuff cooking. I guess you can feel welcome to go ahead and start grabbing stuff even before meat's ready, right? I don't know. I'm sure. Do that. There's coffee there. I forgot to say that. Sorry. There's coffee there on the left side as well if you need that little pick-me-up after I bored you to death. And then just remember the hand sanitizer on the side there when you go up to get stuff. Let me pray for us and pray for the rest of our time together. Lord, I'm thankful once again that we can be together. I'm thankful for Jesus, and I believe what he said, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, in my personal life, I want to embrace that more. I want to follow you better. I want to not get so bogged down in thinking that my worth is determined by what I do. And I want to live life to the full. I want to live in that, what you promised. I pray that for each one here, that no matter where we are with you today, that we would take, that we would consider a little deeper the things that we've talked about today. I pray over this food. I ask your blessing upon it. I pray for great conversations, just a fun time today. And that this can just be an opportunity for us as the church to encourage each other, build each other up, and have a good time. We thank you, Lord, for being with us. We thank you for Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.